Welcome everyone to Beyond the Beat with 32 Beat Writers. My name again is Zach Hyduk, and I'm just going to take us through a very quick and dirty breakdown of the fantasy relevant players in the second and third rounds of the NFL draft. If you didn't get a chance, go back and listen to the breakdown on round one that was posted last night. I'm not gonna lie, guys, I am up pretty late here just trying to break all of this down and, you know, get you guys what my thoughts are here. And yeah, I mean, just, you know, showing that uber commitment to the game and to bringing you guys hopefully some insight to help you out. But in all seriousness, thank you guys for listening, and let's just dig right into it. I do want to mention right before we do, though, I want to hear your guys' voice, your opinion. What do you have to say either about my thoughts or just, you know, some of your own that you'd like to share on the show? You can do that. You can ask us a question. You can call 818-308-5020 and leave a voicemail there. That's 818-308-5020, and you can leave a voicemail for us. Again, we want to hear your take on the draft. All right. With the first pick in the second round, the Bills at number 33 take wide receiver Keon Coleman. And the Bills and the Chiefs, what are you guys doing to me? Landing spot here is amazing, but it just feels like I have the same problem with this selection as I do with Xavier Worthy in Kansas City up a little earlier in the first round there, just from a physical standpoint. Now, of course, it's the opposite problem. Whereas Worthy is fast and small, we've got a large and slower Keon Coleman here going to the Bills. But that just lack of competition other than Dalton Kincaid up in Buffalo, man, that really is enticing. I don't know how, paired with Josh Allen, you can't get a little bit excited, even though, man, I really was very skeptical coming in to the draft that Keon Coleman is a guy I would want to take. I'm going to have to work out where I personally feel good taking him. I don't see how he gets past the, you know, end of the first round, somewhere around the 107, 108, given the, you know, spot that he went and the opportunity that he'll have. The guy that I think should probably go ahead of him and who I would take over him got selected right behind him, Ladd McConkey, 34 to the Chargers. We've been talking about this guy for months now and the shows that he's put on at the various places that he has been. You could not ask for a better landing spot. And frankly, as a Patriots fan, it's a little upsetting that they traded out of that spot to give him to the Chargers. You have Quentin Johnston, and that is it. And I don't know if you watched QJ last year. I'm not particularly worried about the competition there. Ladd McConkey, yeah, he's not a prototypical wide receiver one necessarily, but I think you're going to get plenty of targets from an excellent QB, and that is what you're looking for. Some talent, some opportunity, and a good person throwing the ball. This is, you could not ask for a better spot for McConkey to go to. Jalen Polk is selected next from the fantasy relevant players, at least pick 37 by the Patriots. You know, again, talking about opportunity, this is a good one. There's not a lot of competition there in New England. However, of course, it's not exactly a good team. Now, they did select an offensive tackle later in the third round, I believe it was. And you have Drake May there now. So, with the idea that either Drake May or Jacoby Brissett will be thrown in the ball, assuming Drake May hits, yeah, that's a good possibility that maybe he's relevant. Now, he's not a prototypical number one wide receiver either. Ran in like the 4.5s, I believe. It's, you know, it felt a little bit high. He was a bit of a trendy pick as a sleeper for some people. You know, when he has the opportunity to be number one for the team, for May, although there's been a lot of rumors about them trying to trade for somebody. Now that we are past the second, third rounds, we'll see if that's actually a possibility this year or not, but we should keep an eye out for that. I would assume it takes a little bit of time for him to come along, but hey, you know, if you were a fan of Jalen Polk, I think you got a little bit of something to root for here. Finally, at pick 46, we have the first running back going off the board, and that is, as many people expected, Jonathan Brooks. But unfortunately, he went to a nasty situation with the Panthers. Now, maybe you are a believer still in Bryce Young, but I'm just frankly not convinced of that. I know I've probably beat this drum to death here, but he's going to be a running back who, you know, has talent, but is coming off of injury. It's a bad situation. Yes, they're trying to address the offensive line and some other things, but he's going to get volume on a bad team. And I just don't know that I want that when you're talking about a guy coming off of injury. I've been listening to some things from our partner, Tom Christ, with Fantasy Injury Team. And I have some audio that I'll play for you in the coming week here from him on Jonathan Brooks specifically. But despite the fact that we may not think it will hamper him or prevent him from performing well going forward, I still think there's going to be a little bit of an adjustment time just getting back into football. We see that all the time with people coming off of injury, particularly at that position. And so, you know, he's the number one running back taken, but personally for me, Brooks is not and will not be my number one rated rookie running back. And there will be a couple other guys we'll get to that I would probably take ahead of him. Although I get it. If he is talented. So if you selected him, I would not fault you for that. There is some ick factor there. Speaking of ick factor, Adonai Mitchell, forgive me, Adonai Mitchell, man. Oh my God. He used the word pissed in a quote that we had retweeted. If you want to go check that out, he really fell down the board. Now he goes to the Colts at pick 52 here. Matt Harmon of the Reception Perception feels like, you know, I think he used the terms fire emoji on his broadcast there. He thinks it's a good fit and that, you know, I personally do have some concerns about the analytics on A.D. Mitchell and maybe even the quarterback situation. You know, you got a running quarterback there and who didn't have exactly the best completion percentage in college. But hey, I mean, it's a good opportunity with just Michael Pittman there. I mean, you got Jonathan Taylor as well. Maybe not as much touchdown upside between the running back and quarterback there. But hey, at least it's a good opportunity. There's one guy he's competing with really for targets outside of Jonathan Taylor. And so I would be encouraged if I'm an Adonai Mitchell fan, but I was kind of already out on him. So he's not exactly a guy that I'm particularly looking to draft. And the NFL basically told us that as well. After there was a lot of speculation that he'd go in the first round, he ends up going at pick 52. Now, of course, again, like that's still the second round. That's a good amount of draft capital, but it's going to take a little bit to convince me to actually pull the trigger on him if I'm on the board and he's in front of me. We have our second tight end as well, going right after A.D. Mitchell there at pick 53 to Washington. The Washington Commanders select Ben Sinnott. Now, I did get a chance to speak with him, talk with him, shake his hand at the Senior Bowl. I think a lot of people are going to like this fit. There's not exactly a lot of competition there on that particular team. You know, he seems to be a good guy, all around good player, has a little bit of upside, I would say. But, you know, with a running quarterback who looks to run to not pat, like Jaden Daniels runs or scrambles rather to run. He doesn't really scramble to throw the ball. You know, maybe he ends up being a good friend in the passing game in a dump off situation, but I just don't know. I am a little bit skeptical there just due to Daniels' habits, but we'll have to see. Clearly Washington is building around that offense and see Sinnott go there. You know, I mean, it could be worse, but I don't know. I'm interested to see how that works. It's a place I'll be paying attention to in training camp. I certainly think he got the draft capital you would have been hoping for if you were looking for a tight end that was not named Brock Bowers. Now, a guy that, again, I was a bit skeptical on, Malachi Corley goes next. Pick 65 to the Jets. I was also skeptical of this situation if you listened about a week ago to our wide receiver breakdowns here. I have spoken with a couple people about Malachi Corley, and I have a bit of a worry with the gadgety nature of him. You know, he's a gadgety guy, like I mentioned, as a rookie on an Aaron Rodgers-led team, knowing that Rodgers is over 40, it just doesn't make me excited long-term about the possibility, considering you have Garrett Wilson there as well as Breece Hall. It's just there's going to be some competition for targets, and Aaron Rodgers isn't exactly known for throwing to rookies. Now, I will say that according to Connor Hughes, a reporter up there in New York, the Jets love Malachi Corley. The moment they lost out on Romo Odunze, he became their top priority. They couldn't get back into the second round, but were able to get him here with the first pick in the third. So Malachi Corley goes to the Jets. Maybe I'd grab him in some best ball situations because he'll be used hopefully creatively, but it's an interesting spot for a guy to go when that team is doing their best to push for a Super Bowl run before Aaron Rodgers ends up retiring. Now, here is who I have as my top running back. Trey Benson, pick 66 to the Cardinals. No, he's not a second rounder, but yes, he is in a great, an excellent landing spot. Probably the best combination of landing spot and talent for the running backs. And that's why I personally will be having him all over Jonathan Brooks in my personal rankings. You know, he shouldn't have a problem taking over within the next year or so, maybe, but even by the end of this year, if we're lucky. You just have James Conner there for the most part, as far as any competition is concerned. You know, the offensive line could use to get better, but as I mentioned, with the combination of landing spot and talent here, I'm going to be putting Trey Benson above Jonathan Brooks. Next, we have Jermaine Burton going at 80 to the Bengals. This wide receiver out of Alabama is, I don't know if this is more indication that T. Higgins isn't going to be around very much longer, or if it's really just a replacement for Tyler Boyd. I would be inclined to think that maybe it's kind of both, but, you know, when you lose Tyler Boyd, he was a key part of your team, and maybe Jermaine Burton could help in that regard. Either way, it's a good shot at a real opportunity here within the next year or so, especially if T. Higgins ends up getting traded or just leaving in free agency next year. Burton did reportedly have some character and attitude issues throughout college, so we'll have to monitor that. That would be my biggest concern. I think he does have some talent, but in both places that he was at in college, apparently, you know, he was not exactly on the nice list every year. I can't speak to it personally, never talked to him or anything like that. That's just what I've seen reported, and it's worth keeping an eye on. We then have Tip Raymond going at 82 to the Cardinals in the third round here. Now, he's a tight end, mostly a blocking guy. I would not say he's going to be pushing for any sort of pass catching role, and I would not let that sway me off of any of my Trey McBride hopes that I had. That's all I have on Tip there. Interestingly, here at pick 83, we get Blake Corum, running back out of Michigan. You know, this is one of the only places personally that he could have gone that would have made this really interesting. Yeah, maybe to the Chargers, but he does go to LA, just not to the LA that everybody was thinking he might. Jordan Rodrigue of The Athletic says that the Rams were, look to draft this kind of player every year, this position that is. And she said, quote, "I mentioned this spring, I could see the Rams drafting a player who reminds them a bit of Williams," their current running back, of course, "because they're not trying to deviate from how they ran the ball last year. If Williams needs a spell for any reason, including keeping fresh legs, they want to run the same stuff." So at least from her initial takes here, without saying it directly, it seems like, yes, this kind of is a backup complementary role, which would make sense, but this is a third round pick. And Kyren Williams, I don't believe, was a very high draft pick himself. So I'm curious to see what will happen there. Perhaps in a year or two, we see an emergence of Blake Corum. Obviously, anytime you have a running back going to McVay, that's going to pique your interest. So yeah, definitely not going to be a starter, I would assume, out the gate. But if you do have an injury to Kyren Williams, man, he becomes a pretty interesting, valuable asset. Roman Wilson, 84, to the Steelers. When I saw this pick, I just looked up and asked why. To me, this stinks, man. I can sell some upsides here, and I will, but man, I really liked Roman Wilson, and seeing him go to a place where you've got Justin Fields, who was given away for a bag of chips, and Russell Wilson, who is literally, you know, being paid to leave the Broncos. I don't have a lot of faith. Who knows what the heck happens there next year, assuming both of the QBs bomb. Now, maybe I'm being a little bit cynical and Arthur Smith gets back to his good offensive coordinator role, like maybe he did in Tennessee, instead of, you know, what abysmal things were happening down in Atlanta last year and the year before that. You know, maybe he does have a shot to be relevant. He's going to be the wide receiver two on that team. I do think this means you can kiss your Calvin Austin hopes goodbye, for any of you who still had any hopes in him. But Roman Wilson, good player, in my opinion. And it was a bit of a bummer to see him go to the Steelers. But maybe Justin Fields can rehab his career in some capacity, and Roman Wilson can be a part of that as a wide receiver two for that team. The guy that I was most excited about from the running backs headed into this draft, Marshawn Lloyd, pick 88, goes to Green Bay. And while you think, oh, they have Josh Jacobs, why would we be interested in that? Well, if you look a little bit deeper, Josh Jacobs's contract, you know, they have an out basically after 1 year. Don't look at that contract as a 4-year contract. It is not. You could have Marshawn Lloyd taking over that backfield within the next year or so. And yeah, as I mentioned, Josh Jacobs is there. I still think that he'll probably get used this year. Marshawn Lloyd will. AJ Dillon is a goner now in terms of fantasy. I believe that Lloyd does have a legit opportunity to possibly take over the backfield from Jacobs. Again, not this year, but if they move on from him, Green Bay should be a good offense. And this really does have potential to be something good in the future. In fact, Daniel Jeremiah had him ranked as his first running back in the draft this year. And so for Green Bay to get him where they did, that's awesome. And I really like that going forward. So maybe other people don't, because they see Josh Jacobs there and you're able to get a little bit of a deal on him. We'll have to break down exactly what we think will happen ADP-wise going forward, and he could be a key guy to maybe trade around for if you got that opportunity in your rookie drafts. We got two more guys here that were drafted near the end of the rounds three. That is Jalen McMillan, wide receiver, who went at 92 to Tampa Bay. You know, it's going to be a tough environment with Mike Evans and Chris Godwin there to be fantasy relevant. So that kind of moves him off my board personally, but maybe if they move on from either of those guys in a year or two, maybe you have somewhat of a slow cooking asset. And then Luke McCaffrey goes at 100 to Washington. You know, he's a wide receiver that is not incredibly dynamic in any one regard. He has good hands. He seems to be a good personality. Obviously, we've talked about him a good bit, so I'm not going to belabor that point. But Washington, as we mentioned, is clearly trying to build on offense around Jaden Daniels. I don't particularly believe in Jahan Dotson being a consistent producer. We saw him have a great year one and a spotty year two. However, I do feel as though with Luke McCaffrey, he's likely going to be the third wide receiver. He's probably not going to return any incredible value to begin here, but I do believe there's a small possibility, given that this is a new regime there in town. you might be able to grab him at the back of the second or maybe in the third of your rookie drafts, and that's a fine spot. Those picks are so hit or miss. Anyways, Luke McCaffrey is a definite worthwhile shot at those positions. A couple of guys notable who are still left on the board. One guy at quarterback, I'll just mention, Spencer Rattler. There was a lot of hype about him a couple of years ago. We've spoken regarding him on this podcast before. I'm not surprised that he's still here. Would be interested to see if he goes in round four. At wide receiver, incredibly, we still have Troy Franklin on the board. I don't think anybody assumed he would be available in the fourth round on day three. Clearly, the NFL is telling us that, you know, they were not in on him as much as a lot of the draft community was. So he continues to slip. We also have Devontae Walker on the board, Javon Baker, and the people's favorite, Malik Washington. A little bit deeper, who I'm keeping an eye on later, maybe in the fifth, sixth area. Ryan Flournoy, Brendan Rice, although maybe he goes fourth if we're lucky. Jamari Thrash, Anais Smith. Keep those guys in the back of your brain, and if you hear their name called, try to work out what opportunity they may have on the team that they go to. For running back, we have Jalen Wright from Tennessee, a little bit of a surprise, Braylon Allen, Ray Davis, and then deeper, Dylan Laube and Rasheen Ali are two guys that I'm also keeping an eye on for a hope at some opportunity here. Thanks, everyone, for joining us again for this. Thanks for putting up with any of my tired ramblings here or missteps on any mispronunciations. But we're glad to have you with us either way. I'm going to be recording another one of these tomorrow late. It's about 2 a.m., and I'm going to try to get to bed. If you haven't yet, be sure to check out our website at 32beatwriters.com. For all of us at 32, I'm Zach Heidi. We'll see you later, okay?